is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This afternoon, an update on the work of Glide Revitalization. Rochelle Capone, Disaster Rebuilding Director and Disaster Case Manager Supervisor, on with us. Rochelle, thanks for being on today.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So first of all, tell us a little bit about Glide Revitalization for maybe a few folks that aren't as familiar with it.
Of course. So Glide Revitalization is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to enhance the community of Glide through various programs such as economic development, resources for after-school activities, beautification projects, historical preservation, and other projects that really improve the Glide area. But since the Archer Creek fire, a lot of our focus has shifted to helping the survivors recover and rebuild.
And it's obviously been one of those situations where you had to make a quick shift, and it's really changed. You've got added staff, and you have a lot going on.
Yes, we've had to grow very quickly, expand a lot of our staff, and build a lot of capacity to try and address the various needs of the survivors. There's a lot going on.
And we've been told historically, and I know I've talked to folks from FEMA at other points over the years, that when you have a catastrophic situation, whatever it is, that it's like a five-year window of a lot of things still getting done, while an event like the Archer Creek fire may sort of leave the news cycle for a lot of people if they don't live close by. The impact of that is something that we're going to be dealing with for really, literally decades here in the Umpqua Valley.
Yes, most definitely. There's a lot that goes into restoring the landscape, which can take years to really correct that. And then also there's a lot of rebuilding that's going on, and that can be very time-consuming, and there's a lot of shortages for building supplies and cost increases. And so there's lots of challenges and barriers that folks are having to navigate in order to get back on their feet, and that can take years.
Any idea how many folks you're helping out right now?
How many?
Right.
So it's, I would say we have currently working 166 active open cases, but there's some on wait lists and some that we are reaching out to as well.
And of course, some families opted to relocate and just sort of put their property on pause if they were owners or if they were renters. Some have opted not to come back, feeling like it's a little bit of a hard situation to come back to. But for a lot of the people that were impacted, their roots run deep. I've heard about folks who lost everything in the fire, who go back multiple generations there. They want to get back to things, but yet there's a lot of work ahead.
Yes, most definitely. There, a lot of folks are maybe fifth-generation farmers or ranchers. A lot of people are really invested in their forest land, and they live here for a reason. They love the community, the property, and they really are connected to this land. And some have left because it's very traumatizing trying to restore a property that's completely devastated. And there is a lot of loss and trauma for folks when you lose your whole house. It's like you never existed, and it's very, very difficult to rebuild after that.
Now, for eligible survivors, talk about some of the financial assistance that's still available.
So there is some financial assistance ranging from $5,000 to $9,000 to help folks recover destroyed items, personal property, or to rebuild their homes or to restore their properties. And so if you're a survivor of the Archer Creek fire, we would really want to encourage people that still need assistance to reach out to Glide Revitalization at 541-440-6100 or email gliderevitalization@gmail.com.
I understand that a lot of people impacted by the fire, there were some uninsured, many that were underinsured, and so that puts even a bigger hurdle for them to get over.
Right, most definitely. So there's debt insurance components, and then there's some FEMA assistance and Red Cross assistance. And we really want to help folks maximize any assistance resources that are available to them. And then in addition to what we can provide as well.
Now, one of the things that I saw this in a couple different posts today, in fact, about just the aspect of reforestation, especially for folks who maybe had a house but had a whole lot of property as well.
Right. There is a big component of landowners who are small forest land owners, and they're really reforestation is a really big focus right now, and we're navigating a lot of help for folks who lost timber. So they're having to do a salvage, harvest, and cleanup of their properties. They're trying to address timber loss and navigate all the negative impacts to their land, to their grazing land, to stream health, to soil productivity and fish and wildlife habitat. And so, you know, the Archer Creek fire really, really devastated the whole landscape. And we're currently working through a collaboration of local partners, and we've called our collaboration the Archer Creek Fire Reforestation and Recovery Partnership. And we're working to help landowners, and we've been able to connect them to experts, funding, and assistance to secure seedlings, hire consulting foresters, apply for grants, and really coordinate state and local agencies to help them begin the long and confusing process of reforestation.
And on top of all this, you're dealing with a pandemic, and you're dealing with a supply shortage right now, too.
Oh, most definitely. It's kind of difficult times, but we're navigating as best we can.
So there is a town hall meeting tonight regarding reforestation. And for folks that aren't aware of that yet, tell us more about that.
Yeah, so we had one reforestation town hall meeting already, and that was fantastic. We had a great turnout of landowners, and in that one, we were kind of covering reforestation 101 and trying to connect folks to assistance to help them reforest. But a lot of questions were brought up about the need to learn more about the Oregon Forest Practices Act. And so in response to that, we are holding a second town hall where a panel of local experts are going to help answer questions about the rules and regulations related to salvage harvest and reforestation after a fire. And so we're really encouraging if anyone has forest land that was affected to come here from your local Oregon Department of Forestry Stewardship Foresters and Farm Forest Appraisers. And that's going to be tonight, December 8th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Old Glide Middle School gym.
And obviously, the Oregon Forest Practices Act, for people who have large parcels of land, they're probably generally familiar with it, but there are a lot of different aspects. And when you're going through a process like this where you've got to figure out exactly what do I do and in what order and what's allowed or what is recommended, I mean, there's a lot of things to wade through there.
Exactly. And so there's some nuance to the regulation. So in the event that you're harvesting timber, you have to replant within a certain amount of years after that. And it does apply in some cases to an incident after a disaster. And so it's really helping landowners know what they have to do per regulations and how to make that happen and help them. There's a broad spectrum of reforestation too. It can be natural regeneration all the way to commercial tree plantations, putting as many trees as possible on the property. And so we just want to make sure everyone, all their landowner objectives are brought to the forefront, and everyone has options and knows what they can do.
And with different rules and regulations from the federal and from the state level, sometimes what people can do may depend on exactly where their property is.
Right. There's a lot of nuance to this. So we're glad to have some of the experts. We're going to have Keith Waldron from ODF there, as well as some folks from the assessor's office to kind of talk more about the details about that.
And now, the first time you had the meeting, it sounded like you had a pretty big turnout.
Yes, we did. We had roughly 20 folks attend. We do anticipate slightly more this time.
And can folks access the meeting tonight virtually as well?
Yes, they can go to our Facebook page at Glide Revitalization, and on there, there is links to attend via Zoom, and they can also go to the Eventbrite and RSVP or find more information.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Rochelle Capone, the Disaster Rebuilding Director and Disaster Case Manager Supervisor for Glide Revitalization. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County at 1245 from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247 News Radio, 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Later today, Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4 on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer, Dr. Bob Dannenhofer. Rochelle Capone from Glide Revitalization on with us now, covering some of the things that they have going on. Rochelle, I'm curious, when you talk to folks that have gone through all of this in the last year and a few months here, how do you think the mental health component is of people out in the Glide area?
There's definitely still some residual trauma, of course, that is going to be impacting them for the rest of their life. And so we are connecting folks to spiritual and emotional health care options. We offer counseling and other kinds of resources to folks who need that extra additional support and healing.
And I know that along with some of the things we've talked about in the first segment, you're also doing a number of events to just sort of promote regular community life out there.
Right. We have held a Glide Summer Bash this summer to bring the community together and really bring the survivors together. It was one of the first times survivors have been able to gather as a community after the fire. You know, due to COVID regulations, a lot of people have been isolated as well. And so we really are focusing on more community events. And it is part of our effort to enhance Glide. It's a common occurrence for our organization to host and co-host a variety of social events to promote community engagement, including our annual Sasquatch Festival. We do fundraisers and more. And we actually have an event coming up, a kids' Christmas craft party on Saturday, December 18th from 1 to 3 p.m. at the Old Glide Middle School gym. And so we really want the community to come enjoy a Christmas craft party. And there are going to be different craft stations for children and youth, ranging from cookie decorating to writing letters to Santa and other activities.
And I imagine this is open to anybody out in that area, right?
Of course. Yep. Everyone's welcome.
And, you know, to have something like this at this time of year, I mean, I can't imagine what last Christmas was like for some of the folks that were impacted by the fires.
Right. Very, very, very devastating. It was right in the aftermath of the fire. A lot of people were homeless, essentially, living in hotels, travel trailers, friends or families. Glide Revitalization was able to partner with other local community agencies and had a Christmas program where we were able to provide food and gifts and clothing and other items of basic necessities to the families during the holiday season.
Now, are there folks from the Archie Creek fires that are still really having trouble finding housing?
Housing is definitely a huge challenge. Of course, we all kind of know there's a huge housing shortage. And so then when you have people, especially renters that lost their homes in the fire, now they're having to navigate finding a new home with very little supply. So some folks are living in RVs still and other forms of somewhat temporary housing while they look for some affordable housing. That's a huge thing, is affordable housing availability. And so we actually have received some funding recently to help support survivors navigating housing. And so we're going to be launching a new program with that kind of assistance shortly.
And my understanding, too, a lot of folks, I don't know about percentage, but many folks that were impacted by this were retired, had more limited income. And so, I mean, rents were cheaper out in the Glide area. That's why some people lived there, along with the beauty of the area. And so I know I've heard stories from folks who have been, you know, trying to find a place in Roseburg still that they could afford.
Right. The housing out in Glide, some people lived in mobile home parks or definitely other little forms of more affordable housing. The rent's more affordable there. And so some folks have had to go as far as moving out to Sutherland or Myrtle Creek and live in some rentals there while they're looking in the Glide area. A lot of folks that have been displaced by the fire are wanting to come back to the community. And we've worked with some of survivors and have successfully got them back into homes in the Glide community. So that's been great.
Now, I have seen, and I haven't been out in a few months, I suppose, probably since about August, but the last time I was out in that direction, seeing some construction going on, but really new houses going up as replacement properties were really few and far between.
Yeah, there are some folks that have been rebuilding and either have completed their homes or are still in the process. But what we've been really kind of focusing on is a lot of smaller outbuildings. So we've helped build sheds, decks, ramps, outbuildings, fences, things of that nature. That's a big focus right now.
And if you lose your home out there and you've got rural property, you don't just have the dwelling to deal with. You've got all the infrastructure.
Right. We've had to help people redo their whole roads, which is very labor intensive and costly to even get to the property again. And then they have to redo their whole water system and reconnect power. Like, the infrastructure to these properties is very essential to first be able to build that out again before they can even attempt to rebuild.
What kind of help are you getting from various government levels or maybe other organizations with making all this happen?
Oh, tons. We're working very closely with the power companies, lots of local businesses. The county is working very closely with us. There's tons of engagement and collaboration and partnership to really advocate for the landowners and survivors and their needs across the board from federal, state, and local levels.
And I would imagine, especially given all the additional challenges of the supply chain issues and the pandemic, that this is really pushing people's window for when they want to or are going to be able to get their property done back quite a ways.
Right. There has been some definite challenges. And as we look at the weather getting worse now, people are kind of in a scramble to try and get things done as quickly as possible.
For the area out there, do you feel like there are folks that have still not really kind of checked in, folks that were impacted, but either, you know, just they're a little quieter or they weren't sure what to do? Are there still people out there that need to get in touch and kind of get things started with your organization?
Yes, I believe most definitely. I think there's various reasons, but some people felt that they had enough resources available to them to navigate by themselves. Some felt that they didn't want to bother anybody or that they didn't want to take away from other people. It's also difficult to ask for help, and especially when you don't know what to ask for. People were very overwhelmed in the immediate aftermath. They don't know what to do next. Often they left with the clothes on their backs and they're just processing, and there was tons of help available, but it can be overwhelming to navigate all the various systems available. So we're really trying to reconnect with folks who have been disengaged or not engaged and just let them know that we're here to help in any way they need it.
For other folks around the Umpqua Valley who would like to find a way to volunteer and help out, and that could be in a whole lot of different ways, what kinds of things are available for volunteers?
Yeah, that's great. We do have a really big need to get some committed volunteers in the Glide area who would like to work on various projects throughout our community, and a lot of it can be event planning to construction projects. We need help in a lot of different ways. If people could even donate their skills, like graphic designers or people to help us with our website or social media content, it's really fun opportunities to maybe create some amazing content that way. We have a lot of need for event planning. We're going to be doing a Sasquatch Festival next year, and so we're gearing up for starting to plan that, and we would need volunteers for that. And then also there's a huge, huge ask for construction. We are working with Habitat for Humanity to help build a lot of things for survivors, but we lack a lot of labor and we need some volunteers. So if people would be interested in looking at any of our volunteer opportunities, you can go to our website, gliderev.com, and click on the volunteer tab. And then there's an option there to sign up, and it will take you to our other site with all of our volunteer opportunities.
And remind people about the information for tonight's meeting before we go.
Yeah, so there's a reforestation town hall happening tonight, December 8th, Wednesday, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Old Glide Middle School Gym, 301 Glide Loop Drive in Glide, Oregon. And there are opportunities to attend via Zoom if you can't make it in person, and you can find that on our Facebook page.
And if people want to find out more information, give folks the website again and the phone number to contact your organization.
So you can go to our website is gliderev.com. And if you have any questions, you can reach out to us at 541-440-6100.
Rochelle Capone, Disaster Rebuilding Director and Disaster Case Manager Supervisor for Glide Revitalization. Thanks for talking with us today.
Thank you so much.
1257 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. We'll be right back.
listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.